I live in my divine spirit, mind, and body. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I live in my divine spirit, mind, and body. All of us live in a physical body, and a mental body, and a spiritual body, but what do we do about it? Do we separate them? Do we think of them as being separate entities so that we can, you know, work with them and so that we can get the benefit from them? Or do we think of them as one? Now, all of you bright people will say, of course we think of it as one. Because that's the way that we're, you know, taught to think about it. There's only one. Well, that's not true. There are three entities living within each one of us: spirit, mind, and body. Our spirit is the boss. Our mind is the engineer, you might say, or the motor. And our body is the vehicle which conducts us through this life experience. Now, our body is nothing but a vehicle. It's a vehicle that says, hey, feed me, clothe me, give me some water to drink, take care of me, love me, you know, treat me gentle, don't overwork me, don't run me down, keep me in perfect health, and I'll last as long as you want me, as long as you want me, for an eternity, because I have no reason to die. I have no reason built within me, the body says, to not continue going on forever. My theme is eternity, immortality. That's who I am. That's what the body is, immortality. There's nothing in the body that says that it should die or live or do anything. The body is the automobile. And we go to the garage or we go to the car dealer and we look at the different bodies and we say, oh, that's a nice body. And so we buy that body. And some people buy lemons, but basically we buy good bodies. And as long as we take care of the body will do us well. You let your teenage kids get at the body and they'll sometimes try it in various areas that are not too harmonious for the body. Like zipping up the hills and down the hills and doing wheelies with your body. And that's not too cool. Because what it does, it puts strains on the body. It says to the body, I am pushing you to your limit. And I don't care if you last forever or for 10 minutes. I want to get it out of you now, you know. I'm going to do it now. So people who treat their bodies like that, or who have treated their bodies like that, pay a penalty. They pay a very big penalty. Now, Bill Clinton, when he was getting ready to be president, they said to him, did you ever smoke marijuana at any time, you know, or did you ever smoke any drugs, take any drugs? He said, a couple times in college, you know. Well, now, a couple times in college, he chose not to respect his body. A couple times in college, he chose not to respect his body and recognize that his body is a temple of the living spirit, that it's absolutely perfect. It's a brand new job off a car room floor, and it's perfect in every way. And he chose to put into it some negative stuff. He chose to put into it some kerosene instead of beautiful octane gasoline, you know. He chose to put into it smoke inside of the car, you know. And so the inside of the car smells like a smoke, you know, smoker's den. And it's okay if you're a smoker. But the thing is, if you're not a smoker and you smoke in the car, then the car smells bad for everybody. And if you are a smoker, then that's just fine. Then join the crowd or the non-crowd. But your body is whatever it is. Now, because you have been such a stupid fool and did something negative to your body, you are now a sinner and you are cast into hell for the rest of your life and for eternity, and there's no salvation. Well, that's not true. That's not true. People who have emphysema, thank you. I never think of these words. People who have emphysema, that means they smoke or have smoked too much, you know. And it bothers their body, and their lungs are all tarred up. They've done research on people with emphysema, and when they stop smoking, if they can stop smoking, get rid of that habit, get off of the narcotic habit that they have, if they can get off of it, the first year, the body is almost 40% clear of smoke in the lungs, you know, the tar and things. The second year, it's 50% or better. The third year, it's like 60 or 80%. And then as time goes on, it gets almost completely out. Now, why is it that it doesn't get completely out? Because our thought is that we once did it. Bill Clinton says, yeah, in college I did. He can just lie and say, I don't remember. But the thing is, it made an impression on him. When he smoked it, it made an impression on him. It smoked. He said, whoops, I'm doing something I shouldn't do. Whoops, I'm doing something I shouldn't. I'm not very proud of this. Whoops, 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 you know. And he held on to that. And in holding on to that, he brought that with him in his body to his later years. And because he brought it with him in his body to his later years, he's experiencing it. Take care of him. And so when a dog barks, we say, take care of him, you know. No sense having a dog barking and not knowing why he's barking. And he probably is looking at the kitchen table, and he's probably looking at the stove and seeing that the bacon was not put away. And he smells it, and he's saying, you didn't put the bacon away. Would you like me to finish it for you? You know, I'm happy to take care of it. See, these are all the things that our dog goes through, all on our behalf, just thinking of us with such great love in his heart. Now, your body will clean itself up. It's your natural proclivity for your body to return to its original purity and integrity. Your body doesn't know any better than to go back to its original purity and integrity. And it will go back to its original purity and integrity if you shut up. If you stop talking about your illness, stop talking about your problems, stop talking about, in college I smoked it, you know. Give it up, you know. Let it go. If you stopped, then stop. Don't go, keep repeating it. Did you ever go out with a bad girl or a bad boy? No, can't remember it. The only type of people I go out with are good people, are lovely people, very sensitive, caring people. Why do you remember those things and re-endorse it, introduce it into your life when it's something you say you don't want? Now, just remember the body is our vehicle. It's willing to do whatever we do. And whatever we do, it comes to our body from our mind. Because our mind has got an open book there. Our mind is open to the infinite allness of the universe. But in our mind, at the age of, I think it's 1 second, at the age of the time when the mother and father got together and decided to have a child, at that moment, the child is pure, so pure in every aspect of its body, of its mind, of its spirit. It's so pure. And then, in that moment, feeding into the child purposefully, the mother and father smoke and they drink alcohol, and it goes into the fetus and into the body. They talk bad and they listen to the news and hear all about the unhappiness of the world. Well, now there are a few mothers, few fathers, and unfortunately very few, but we'll come into that in a minute. There are a few mothers and fathers who, from the time that they decide to have a child, even before that, they think beautiful thoughts. They think, this is the most wonderful baby in the world. It's going to come here. This is a genius. This is fantastic. The world is peace. The world is love. We play lovely music for the child here. We play lovely words. We read lovely books. We just inculcate into that child all that wonderful stuff that we believe about, you know. And in the process, the child comes out rather marvelous. Not a spectacular child. Not a child that's going to change the world, because there's nothing to change. Not a child who's going to go around and try to improve things, because there's nothing to improve. The child is so happy with itself. It's so content with itself. It is just a bubble of joy wherever it goes. Everybody says, wow, what a neat kid. What a neat person. My goodness, I like to be in that person's presence. Wow, it feels so good. You know? And they haven't done anything except be themselves and have fun, which is the essence of what we want always to teach. Now, there are a lot of parents who are misdirected because they're misdirected by their parents and they're misdirected by their ministers and priests and people in their world to think that there's war in the world, to think there's unhappiness in the world, to think that the Greenpeace has to be done and ecology of the world is going to hell. And it's not. It's not. It's not. This is all part of the divine plan. If you misuse a car, then that car is going to not take care of you, not give you the mileage that you want out of it. If you misuse your body, it's not going to give you the miles you want out of it. If you misuse your mind, and you see, that's another point now. And the little child is born. The mother says, you're a genius, you're fantastic, you know everything, you're wonderful. The sieve, the filter is off of their mind, between their mind and the infinite cosmic intelligence. They are one as the infinite cosmic intelligence, and they are flowing with that. They're unlimited, which they always are. But they have that filter that's put there that says, you can't know it. Who do you think you are? You know everything? Is that who you think you are? You're so smart? Yeah? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, show it. Well, you know, we do it our own way. We don't have to prove anything to anybody. Never really think that you have to prove anything to everybody. Anybody. Just be yourself. Okay, now. So, here you are now, this beautiful being, born out of these beautiful parents and living in a beautiful life. Are there people in this world who go through life without realizing that there is unhappiness in the world? Sure.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Are there people in this world who go around believing that life is meant to be joy?
Yes.
And fun? Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, a moment ago I mentioned that there's another aspect to this, of the people who don't get that sort of training. And the people who don't get that sort of training are the majority. And the majority don't really pay attention to what's going on in the world around them. They just do their own thing. The majority of the people in the world are just casual people doing their own thing, happy. They go and take their walks. If they hear something they don't like, they listen to, they walk away from it, you know. If they are in a conversation where people are using words that are not harmonious with them, they just walk away. They don't even recognize it. They don't even mention it. They just walk away. They do their own thing. They're master of themselves. And if people are drinking or taking drugs that are not harmonious with them, they just go and do their own thing. There's nothing wrong with drugs and nothing right with drugs. But the thing is, it's your choice. Now, do you want the results that come from eating a lot of food? From drinking a lot of drinkings, you know, and stuff like that? What do you want? What do you want? And so, the universal intelligence in every being is filtered out. And we say, I can have another piece of cake. I can have another dish of ice cream. I can have another steak. I can have another plate of food. And then, what do our mothers and fathers teach us? Clean your plate. But Mom, there's too much on there. Clean your plate. Mom, you put just a little bit of the good stuff on there and a lot of the stuff I don't want on there. Mom, you see, and clean your plate. Well, that shouldn't be. We should have family service, perhaps, and you take what you want, but you take what you eat. You eat what you take. And so if you made a mistake and took too much this time, take a little less next time. That doesn't mean you get away with not eating it this time. But take a little less next time, a little less next time. And pretty soon, you'll have yourself in a very moderate diet and very happy and very content. Very content. But mothers say, clean your plate. Think of the poor Biafrans, you know, without any food, as though the food on your plate is going to do them any good. But you see, this is what it is. We've been manipulated by the world around us in a not beneficial basis, and we want to take care of that. So I live in my divine spirit, mind, and body. When we start calling our body divine, then we'll start treating it like divine. When we start calling our mind divine, we'll start treating it like divine. And when we call our spirit divine, then that's the ultimate. Now, what are we doing? What are you doing? I said to someone this morning at breakfast, don't say, after you have just won the sweepstakes, I never win the sweepstakes, because then they'll take it back. And so, next thing you know, I said to Sylvia, Sylvia, where's all that bacon or bacon bits that I like with my egg, you know? And she says, whoops, it's in, whoops, I'll get you some. So she goes out and makes it. Well, now, normally she would make me two little tiny strips of bacon, greaseless strips that are just, you know, dried on a paper towel, no grease on it, nicely done, you know, like a professional. Well, this morning, she, in her enthusiasm, ran out in the kitchen and made up four strips of bacon, loaded with grease, no paper towel wiping it off or anything. And then she hands it to me and she says, here. And I said, thanks. I said, I expected to have my usual portion and you've given me so much. And so everybody at the table says, well, we'll take the other. You see, when you're willing to say that you would have only liked less, then that's what you oftentimes get. So we passed it around, and the dogs ended up getting a little piece each. So everybody got some. But the point is, don't say, I never win the sweepstakes after you won it, because it can go away from you too. You know, the delivery truck can be robbed on the way to deliver the money to you, and you never get it, you know. So all sorts of things can be happen. I live in my divine spirit, mind, and body. If we can just say, I live in my divine spirit, mind, and body, divine spirit, mind, and body, spirit, mind, and body, spirit, mind, and body, just say it and say it and say it. It's like saying, I like me, I'm divine order and peace. It's like saying, all is in harmony, all is in the proper perspective, all is working out just the way it should be working. And that's the way we want it to work. And if we don't want it to work that way, then we say, oh, darn, I'm never lucky. Oh, darn, nothing ever works out for me. Oh, darn, my sister always gets the best piece of cake, you know. Or my sister, with the handsome boys come over to the house and they look at her first, you know. And my sisters were like that, too. I had twins, my two twin sisters. And so one was very pretty and the other was very athletic and very artistic. And the pretty one always attracted the boys, but the artistic one took them. She didn't let any grass grow under her feet. And so May always got the guy, and after she got him, she didn't like him. Because it wasn't really her choice. She wanted him because her sister had her. And she wanted everything her sister had. And so she did her best just to get everything she could. And in the process, she was a very unhappy girl. She did a lot of good things, and she was a nice lady in all respects, but she was very unhappy because she was always wanting something that somebody else had. And you see, when we live our life always wanting something that somebody else has, we are never satisfied with who we are. And I'm number one. I'm the greatest thing that ever walked down the aisle. Walked down the pike, as the saying goes. I'm fantastic. I'm glorious. I'm wonderful. Now, as you listen to that, your attitude might be, well, who do you think you are? And my attitude to you is, who do you think you are? You know? If I'm number one, you've got to be number one. Because there can be no one else but number one in my world. Because if I'm number one, then you've got to be number one. Otherwise, I cannot be number one. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. There can only be one number one. That's right. And there's only one number one for each of us. That's ourselves. And if we start comparing ourselves to anybody else, then we're making a mess out of it. But when we live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body, that was the word I wanted to put down there. Our ideal spirit, mind, and body. Divine is good too, but our ideal spirit, mind, and body. When we live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body, then, hey, we're living at the peak of living. We are living why we came here to planet Earth to be. We came on planet Earth to live in beautiful bodies. The ultimate car, you know, what do you call it? The Rolls Royce, the Porsche, the Lamborghini, Lamborghini, or you know, Rolls Royce, or what have you. It's a posh, you know. But some people don't like to be posh. They like to be a Roadrunner, you know. They like to be a Ford. They like to be something else. No, but now even Ford has changed its image. Even Hyundai, that had been the cheapest car that you could buy anywhere, and it was built the cheapest way, but it worked, you know. And it did a good job. But now the Hyundai is in competition with the most outstanding-looking top model car. But you see, its image changed. We are number one. And lo and behold, they'll probably be number one, because people will look at them and say, that's my style. Before, they looked at it and said, it'll do. It'll do for the racetrack, or it'll do for going to the market or something. But if we're going to the theater, or if we're going out and posh-poshing it, we want to look our best. So this is what this is all about. And this is who you are all about. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, do you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Yes.
Are you number one?
Yes.
And how can you all be number one? You know, it's not logical in our logical universe. Well, you are God. I don't hear any response.
Yes.
Well, thank God. You are God. Now, does God know any logic or reason?
No.
Uh-huh. So, there's no logic or reason to being number one, is there? There's no logic or reason to anything. And if you're God, and there's no logic or reason to you, you do those things that delight you, that charm you, that make you the delight of your life. And you know that every time you do something that makes somebody else happy, it makes you happy. Because first you got yourself happy doing it mentally, and then you did it physically, or mentally too. But think on these things. I live in my ideal divine spirit, mind, and body. Think on that. And as you think on it, then you'll realize that your body, you know, was given to you as an idea. It really wasn't given to you. I'm sorry?
I revealed it.
I'm sorry?
I revealed it.
I'm sorry? You went to the car dealer and revealed it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You went to the car dealer and chose it. You see, out of the infinite possibilities of bodies that there is to have, and infinite fingerprints that there is to have, you chose the ones that you got.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you wanted. Now, you wanted a body perfect, or you wanted a body sort of perfect, or imperfect. It's just your choice. Now, you wanted a mind that was open to the infinity of the universe, and you wanted to be the greatest inventor, the greatest the metaphysical thinker, the greatest, you know, whatever that ever was, you know. Not everybody is, but they could be. People say it ain't so. And so, for them, it ain't so. But when you say, all is available to me, I am the universe, I am the allness, great. You see, and then you're one as your spirit. Your spirit is just the universal essence that's in you, that's in everybody. It's the universal essence. And that is in all of us. The mind is available to it. The spirit we can't get rid of. That's there. The mind, it's available to us. We can use it all or none of it. Or a little or a lot. Just depending upon how enthusiastic we are about it. And the body, that's as fantastic or as glorious as we want. We could be a Marilyn Monroe. You know? We can be a beautiful Adonis, you know. We can be anything we want to be. But we have to make the choice. Now, do you want to be an Adonis? An Adonis is a symbol, and it doesn't necessarily mean his lifestyle. But, of course, what was his lifestyle?
What? Sports?
What?
Sports?
No.
Exercise?
His lifestyle was whatever we think his lifestyle was. Because he was a what? A mythical character. Was he real?
I thought he was. I don't know.
Well, of course there are people who take on the name of Adonis.
I mean, he was.
Well, look it up. He is the son of some Grecian god. You know? This is why mythology is such a fascinating thing. Our world is based a lot on it. The symbols of our world come out of Grecian mythology. And because who is it who is held over the river Styx?
Achilles.
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 Yeah. Achilles' mother was a mythical queen, you know. And she wanted to protect her son from all injury, from all death, that he could not be killed by anybody in the army or, you know, in war or peace or anything else. So she took him by his heel and held him and dipped him in the river Styx and pulled him up. But his heel was his Achilles' heel, where he could be killed, because nowhere else on his body could he be damaged. But if he could, anyone got a sword into his heel, or got anything into his heel, he's gone. And it's a symbol. It's a symbol that any one little thought in our mind or in our body destroys us. So we want to say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And as we do that, then there will be no Achilles heel. But the stories of mythology are done and told very, very dramatically and very beautifully and very, very significantly for anyone who's willing to listen to the story and get what the story has to say. The story was told dramatically and beautifully about Achilles and his mothers and the thing how he was held over the river Styx and how my gosh, why didn't everybody dive in the river Styx, you know?
Yeah.
He should have just dove in and came out and, you know, throw the kid in, you know? And maybe he was a baby. Who knows? But he would have swum good too anyhow. But the thing is, you see, the story has to have its drama and its magic, because that keeps it in your mind for years and years. If the baby had just been thrown into the river and swam to the shore and then climbed out, and you're still a little baby, and then was completely untouchable, then there'd be no heel to be injured in. So, what kind of story are you making up about your body? Is your body ideal? Is your body perfect? Is your body wonderful? Is your mind the universal mind of all? Is your spirit the infinite allness? And do you accept that you are that? Then if you do, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And you've got it made. This is very important for us to think about. But it's more important for us to act on. When you go around, like Pollyanna in a way, and you see good in everything, then that's all you'll experience. That's all you'll experience. So, get to know that. And get to live it. Get to enjoy it. And realize that you have just been sitting here for 30 minutes enjoying this wonderful chit-chat. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.